Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of Women Versus.
I'm your host Jasmine.
And I'm your host Nancy.
This week's episode is Women Versus the Workplace.
So just to get started, did you catch last week? No, a few days ago, the Euphoria episode.
Oh my gosh, we did. We did a whole watch party.
Hey, I don't know, I was pretending.
Yeah, but it's insane. Like, I don't even know what to say. Like, we're going to start off, we're going to talk about Euphoria too later in the episode to tie it in. But honestly, like, this episode was so raw, so real. It was fully about Rue. Obviously, spoilers alert. Sorry, yeah. Everyone. But I'm not going to lie. I think they did a really good job of framing, like, the mindset of an addict mm-hmm. and what Rue was going through.
Yeah, because, you know, this show has gotten flack apparently for like glamorizing drug use, but I think with this episode, like, Sam Levinson really shows like it's not all like glitter yeah. and like being just like intoxicated. It's more like, you know, you see how her relationship with her mom, her sister,
everything.
Her friends is like ruined, like,
and how she actually, like, you see how instantly she regrets it. And yeah. how she knows straight away, like, what she did is wrong, and like she does want help, but she realizes I can't stop. Like, I don't know, I just feel like, yes, she was shown to be a drug addict throughout the whole show, but this was the first episode you really see, like,
you see
a deep insight to it.
Because right now she was going through withdrawals in the episode, yeah. right? So it's like, she'll do anything to get drugs right now because of how her body is. So it was, I think Zendaya is definitely going to win an Emmy for this one.
Everyone was saying that. Like, her acting, oh my god. And honestly, I'm not going to lie, I got very, very, very scared when she was at Lori's. Like, I don't know.
Oh my god, that was terrifying.
We know there's a lot of theories. Like, we could get into that, but, like,
let's not spoil anything.
We won't spoil, yet. And I think those theories could just go on for ages, but I won't lie. I really don't have a good feeling about it. I think it's gonna end badly for yeah. Rue.
The only thing we will spoil, though, is, like, what Rue did to Cassie.
Oh!
Or what Cassie deserved, because
That was some expose.
That was, I think I lost my voice partially from screaming at that scene.
I couldn't stop just hitting the table. Like,
and me. We, like, grabbed yeah. onto each other and were like, oh my god, this is not happening right now. It was a lot.
And I'm not gonna lie. Like, okay, this is something I also said. Like, obviously, I know it's not Maddie's fault. But if you think, like, butterfly effect, like, if Maddie just took a chill pill for, like, one second, which obviously I'm not saying she should have. Like, mm-hmm. rightfully so, she went off on Cassie and Cassie needs that. But, like, with all that happening, Rue escaped and Rue went to Lori's and ended up probably in a really bad situation, which kind of sucks. I won't mm-hmm. lie. Because if, like, I don't even know how that door was still open, like, all those things.
Who was scratching behind it, unless that was a hallucination on Rue's part.
Yeah, no, but, like, even at Cassie's, I'm saying, like, Cassie's mom was right in front of the door.
Yeah.
Like, how did they all just, like, divert off of Rue?
It's because I think Maddie was threatening to beat up Cassie. She was like, I'm gonna get violent.
I mean,
I get it.
Like, I won't lie, I love the line when she goes, why are you crying right now?
Yeah, like, you yeah. got, like, with my ex, and then it was really sad because you could see how close the two were. So yeah. for Cassie to do that, it was very, very messed up.
Like, for a guy, I hate to say it's, like, more expected. It's like, yes, fine. There's a different type of whatever. Like, if you were an ex, whatever. But, like, for your friend, your best friend to betray you.
Yeah.
That's a different type of hurt, a different type of betrayal. Like, you can't go back. Like, I'm
not
going to lie. I don't
think we're ever going to be friends again.
We knew of someone like that did that. And it's just, like, I just think more, how could you face your friend every day, especially if they're talking about the boy in question. So here, like, if Maddie's talking about Nate, how could you just sit there and listen? Like, I just think that's so wild.
I mean, you saw how she was in the hot tub, which is, like, yeah. really embarrassing.
But that was, she was intoxicated, so I guess.
Yeah.
Like, I think when you're sober and you're, like, doing that, no.
It's a lot.
I hate to say, like, you're not a good person.
No. I mean, to do that to anyone, like, not even your best friend, like, you are a bad person in my eyes.
No, you are. But that's wild. I guess we can get into, like, mm-hmm. some of the things about this week's podcast. So the first thing we want to talk about is just, honestly, in, like, social media nowadays, and honestly, TV and movies more so, we've noticed, which is a good thing, women are framed in more of a position of power. And they've kind of become to be framed differently in the past, I would say, 10 years. Mm-hmm. Versus before that, they were very much a victim, the damsel in distress, mm-hmm. not able to hold their own or be that main character, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because, like, women were just, like, seen as a side piece to the male character.
Exactly.
And they were just there to, like, support the male character or be, like...
And you know what this is reminding me of? I personally haven't seen it, but I've heard a lot, and my parents have seen it. The show Mad Men. Have you seen it?
No, I've heard of it, though.
It's a very... Apparently, they frame it... I think it's in the 50s. Very misogynistic. Very much...
Not surprised.
Women are there to just please the men, be the household wife, and the men are there. So, I think, like, that's the mentality of, like, I think... not, obviously, to that extreme, but how women... Like, it wasn't very common for strong female leads. Shows framed around women and, like, them being in a power position, a CEO. And I think it's a great thing, obviously. Like, they need to be shown more like this and honestly, not weak.
I think, like, this trend of, like, female lead characters in strong roles is a very recent thing. It is not something that was, like, common. I think in recent years now, it's been becoming more common. Like, I would say, like, in the past, like, 5 to 6 years.
Yeah.
Right? When you started seeing characters like Katniss Everdeen.
Oh, yes, yes,
you know,
yes.
Stuff like that. I feel like that's kind of when it started.
I did. You're right. I think about that. And I just think it's important because they've, like, we're going to talk about this also later, like, women still are shown to always be, like, a little emotional, okay? Yeah. But we'll talk about that in a second. But I think it's, like, really good that a lot of them are now getting their own stance where they are on par with other genders.
Yeah.
Like, they're not just, oh, yes, you're, like, you're in a position of power, but
you're also... But the men are making decisions around you.
So, like, some of the people we'll talk about, like, Amal Clooney. Do you want to talk? I don't know too much.
So, the reason I put down Amal Clooney is because, like, okay, George Clooney, as we know, was, like...
Yeah.
I feel like not for our generation so much.
But he was, like a really big bachelor. Generation, yeah.
He was, like, you know, the ultimate bachelor. It did not settle down until he found, like, Amal Clooney. And people tried really hard to, like, put her in his shadow.
Yeah.
But because of her success as, like, a woman in power, she's, like, a... She's a... I think she is. She's a human rights lawyer, right? Yeah. She's already
She's a big
had,
advocate.
She's a huge advocate. Yeah. She has her own career and everything. So she wasn't, like, some... showpiece trophy wife, right? And I think, like, that kind of revolutionized Hollywood in that sense, because, you know, you expect, like, these male superstars to just have, like, a trophy wife, or for the wife to just be a trophy wife, but, like,
it's like she's an equal counterpart.
Yeah, she is.
No, that's, yeah, she definitely, because it was more, it wasn't just like, oh, that's a, she didn't just become George Clooney's wife.
She's not George Clooney's wife.
She is Amal Clooney. Yeah. And you're right, because there's a lot of people that are just known as, oh, that's the spouse. But she did become her own person.
If anything, I want to say George Clooney is Amal Clooney's husband for, like, our generation.
That is true.
Because people look up to, like, Amal more than George.
And this actually is so similar to the other person, which we didn't make this connection before, Blair Waldorf from Gossip Girl.
Yeah.
Blair Waldorf became, and they made that deal, her and Chuck, we're going to become our own people before we get together. And that's who they are. They became their own
person,
like, enterprises as well, like, own person, and then they were each other's. They weren't, she was like, I don't want to be Chuck Bass's wife or girlfriend, I don't want to be Blair's husband. Like, they wanted to be their own person, then, who are equal counterparts, both powerful,
which I think is very important in any relationship, because usually
the
stigma is, or the stereotype is, the man should make more, but if the man doesn't make as much as, like, his wife or his girlfriend, you know, there's, like, issues in the relationship because, like, male insecurity.
Yeah.
But I think it goes both ways. Because for me personally, like, if I was in a relationship and, like, I was making significantly lower than my partner, I would be a little insecure, right? In that sense, I would be like, oh, no. Because, like, if they were trying to, like, make it a thing.
Okay, if they were making,
like, right,
it a
if they're
thing,
like, oh, no, it's okay, you don't worry about it, I can handle it, I'll pay, like, all the time.
Yeah.
I think that's where it kind of, like, stems from, like, in their sense, because, like, none of them wanted to be, like, reliant on each other, and I think that's really important in a relationship. You can't, you can rely on someone for, like, emotional and, like, you know, whatever support, but sometimes it gets, like, iffy with finances and stuff.
That's true. I do think, though, over the past couple years, that stigma is kind of changing, like, a lot more, obviously in a heterosexual relationship, a lot more men are opening up to that idea of, like, you know, stay-at-home dad, I'll be the one, like, to take workload and more workload at home. So, like, I don't know, I kind of think that is changing, and I'm like, that's a good thing. It's seen much more even in TV shows and movies. Like, you see that a lot more,
like in Modern Family.
Yeah.
Phil I feel like Phil takes, like, a step back at one point and lets Claire, like, become, you know, the CEO. Yeah. And it's really, it's, like, refreshing to see that. And it's, like, healthy to see that, I think.
It is. And I do think, though, that's more common now. Like, I don't think that's, like, obviously it's probably still an issue in certain areas, but I don't think it's as, like, looked down upon, like, especially within male's ego and whatnot. Like, I don't think it's so much more of a stigma. Mm-hmm. And another example we have, that's social media. I'm sorry, not social media. A TV show of, like, women being framed in this position of power. It's this new show that we both were introduced to called Grace and Frankie on Netflix. Mm-hmm. And it's these two older ladies on it. And they turn themselves in, like, they create a product. And they start, like, branding it. And they become CEOs of this brand. And they, you know, it's just really refreshing to see in this
like,
new light.
Especially in their, like, at their age, too.
Yeah.
It's refreshing to see, like... So, the premise of the show is that their husbands leave them.
For each other.
Yeah, for each other. And then they move in, like, the two women move in together, Grace and Frankie. And they, you know, navigate life together and then start up a business. Mm-hmm. It's refreshing to see, like, showing, like, a show, like, depicting, like, older women in a position of power like that. When the whole, like, premise of, like, the first few episodes was, oh, he left me in my old age. Who am I supposed to rely on? But it shows, like, you can become reliant on yourself.
And actually, as you say that, that's interesting. Because, so both their husbands were lawyers, okay? Mm. One of the wives, I think, believe it's Grace, she was her own self-made woman. Yet she was still worried. Oh, my gosh. My husband left me.
Yeah.
I don't have my, like, her credit card got cut off. But she still had her own standing and own finances. Yet she was still in this position of... I'm alone. I'm vulnerable and fragile, but I love the show because the way it fully just flips and changes and they become like these strong, independent women. It's just, it's really nice to see that all shows are starting to, like, you know, get on this wavelength.
Yeah.
I guess another aspect of this is that women, though, are still shown to be too emotional. We put that in, like, you know, air quotes.
Yeah.
To be in a position of power. Like, yes, there's what we were just talking about, but on the other hand, some shows, and in general, I feel like this will never go away. People and the understanding in the world is still shown to be women, if they become a little irrational, raise their voice, say, do something, they are too emotional.
They're too emotional. And it's like having vulnerabilities and having emotions is seen as a negative thing, where I think it shouldn't be seen as that, because, like, having emotions are, like, allowing some part of your emotion to make, like, alter your decisions, it's not a bad thing.
It's not.
Right? You can't be logical, or, like, you can't have, like, a, I don't know, like, what the right word for this, you can't, like, frame everything in, like, a formal way. Like, not every situation, not every issue can be, it's not black and white.
That's the
right. Right? And I want to say, like, the gray space is your emotion.
100%. And I think that, like, ties into one of our examples, which is Hillary Clinton, and honestly, women in different types of position of power, aka President of the United States.
Yep.
End of the day.
Or, like, the VP right now, like Kamala Harris.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
She made it, but during the time of the 2016 election, a big portion of people who didn't vote for Hillary was because of her gender.
I watched a few interviews, and it was, like, people who were voting for the opposition, they were stating that a big factor in their decision not to vote for Hillary was because women are too irrational, women are too emotional.
Yeah, they're too scared to have a woman in that level of power.
Women can't make a decision. Women are too indecisive.
They're like, oh, she's not capable. She's not, like, this and that. And it's, like, it just, end of the day, it's interesting to see how we have come so far as a generation, as a society, yet still with the President of the United States, it still comes down to gender. Like, that is still such a swaying partisan factor.
Mm-hmm.
It's
insane, because for a lot of people, it wasn't even about what both sides were representing. We're not going to get into that.
Yeah.
But it wasn't about what both sides were representing. It came down to what gender they wanted to see.
For us, for a portion of the popular voters. Yes, it did.
And even Kamala Harris now.
She's still getting backlash.
People are making her out to be, like, this woman who is just waiting for, like, Joe Biden to, like, drop and, like, for her to take his place. They're framing her in, like, a calculating way. Because, like, how could a woman be in a position of power and be a nice woman or not be cunning? Because I feel like that's another thing. Like, you see a woman in a position of power and people automatically assume that she's rude, she's stuck up, she's mean.
Honestly, you can't win. Yeah, I was about to say, you can't win. Because, like, if you're a very like, if you're, like, a stickler as a boss and you're a woman, you kind of get, you get that image. You're like, oh, that's...
Oh, she's the man. Like, she's that kind
of person. But then it's like, oh, if you're too soft, oh, she's too soft. I can walk over her. And it's like, it just, I don't know. It's very hard. And, like, another example we have is from the TV show How to Get Away with Murder, Annalise Keating.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing lawyer in that show. Honestly, like, wow, such a powerful character and a role and a person. But there were a lot of times that because of how irrational she might have been, she went through a lot. I just want to put that out there. But, like, she got told many times, you're too emotional.
Yeah.
You're too this, you're too that. Yet she made it to the Supreme Court in America, changed some laws, did some things, yet she still gets, like, frowned upon in certain different lights.
For being a woman who shows emotion.
Yeah, or, like, caring too much, or just the way she acts and reacts to certain things. And sometimes when she was too strict and too much of a good lawyer, why are you so manly? No man's gonna want to be with you. That's what she got. Because she was too good at her job as a criminal defense lawyer.
I feel like if a man is threatened by your position of power, or, like, if you have, like, a backbone, like, that's just fragile masculinity at its finest.
It is.
There's, like, nothing... There's no other explanation to it.
I honestly think that's true, because the thing is... Okay, to take this out from a different perspective and make it a little more personal... The phrase that women are too emotional hits a little too close to home. This actually was just said to one of my friends. Just because she was asking a genuine question about a situation between them. And, like, obviously, like, you know, got a little heated. Why are you so emotional right now? Just because she's asking questions, like, if you were asking the exact same question, you're being emotional.
Yeah.
Is anger not an emotion? Like, I don't know. Very interesting. Okay. So moving on to the next little subtopic, we're going to talk about, like, specifically how women are treated in the workplace. And I'm trying to think how to frame this. Okay, I'm going to start with, like, the semi-sweetie. Yeah. Is it Sweeney?
Sweeney.
Like Sweeney Todd. Okay. Sydney Sweeney. There's a whole, I don't know, like,
debacle
kind of about, and I kind of agree with this, how no name, air quotes, no name, less known, famous, women actors still have such a hardship and battle to go through that they have to go through a little bit of over-sexualization in order to be known and to get famous, where well-known actresses
don't
have to do this. And it's interesting to know that why is that standard there for women, yet male actors don't have something equivalent, yet they have the equal opportunity to get famous. So, little backstory, I don't know.
I guess, like, a little bit, because, like, even, like, actors, like, I want to say, I'm not sure if it's Chris Evans or if it was someone else. It was a Hollywood hunk, right? Like, I don't remember which actor now, but it was, like, you have to take your shirt off. You have act a certain way. So, yeah, but I feel for women, it's more. Because, like, a man might get to, like, take a shirt off in one movie and prove his worth, but a woman has to go through multiple movies, multiple TV shows before she's given a chance.
Yeah, so, like, what
Sweeney
had to say was, apparently she had to, like Sam Levinson said in Euphoria, like, one of the conditionals was kind of like, you know, you have to do X amount of topless scenes. And she said, like, you know what, like, I'm nothing at the moment, I have nothing, like to prove, like, I have no worth in the sense of being, like, no standing to be like, no, because you're not famous enough. Whereas Zendaya, for example, because she goes, why does Zendaya have nothing but I have so many? He goes, well, like, who are you, in a sense, in so many words. So she had to do it. And now, because of season 2, she has gotten a large amount of following and fame. She stood up. She goes, that's not right that I'm the only actress that still has to do so many. I don't feel comfortable with it.
Because even Alexa Demi only did an episode 1 of, like, season 1 of Euphoria, and it was for 5 seconds.
Yeah, it was barely anything. And she's, like, didn't want to, I guess, and she felt like she had enough, whatever, to not.
Because, like, but Zendaya, you can tell she has a no nudity clause, right?
She does. And so she stood up, and there's a lot of, like, talk on the internet, like, wow, Sam Levinson had to rewrite so many scenes. What scenes do you think she was supposed to be topless in?
You can tell which ones they were.
And it's just, like, it's kind of sad to see that that was, like, for her, like, she didn't want to do that. She felt so forced in order to just have her job that she had to do that. And that's just, like, how I think, like, ended, like, women still are treated in the workplace.
Yeah. Like, with the Me Too movement, when that came out, it was very obvious that, like, a lot of men in a position of power do abuse their, you know, they abuse their status and, like, you know, force, like, female, like, counterparts to, like, prove their worth to them, in a sense.
Yeah, and I guess as, like, sometimes innocent women, if they think this is their only opportunity, they do it, and, you know, I don't know.
It's really upsetting. But to, like, diverge from that a bit, like, another woman in power in a work, like, field, like, a workforce field, I don't know what to say, like, about her. A career-driven woman, Kim Kardashian, she took her home movie adult film and she turned it into, like,
she changed the narrative.
She changed the narrative, and she is now a multi-billionaire with countless, like, companies and, like, a TV show and, like, a successful line of, like, clothes and everything.
She did change that narrative because she started off with a very different image, very different view of who she kind of was in Hollywood. And even, I would say, like, her social circle, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But now...
And her image.
Over the years, she changed that narrative because she wanted to. She was driven. She had the opportunity. And all, I would say, Kardashian women were very successful.
They're very smart.
They are smart. They were able to utilize...
Something that was tragic for her, in her words. It was, like, something she never wanted the public to see. She was able to take that and take, like... the fame she got from that and turned it into, like, something that has lasted her so long that she is now one of the most, like, iconic public figures.
And there's so many other things that you could think about to talk about with Kim Kardashian instead of that, I would say. Even now, she's such a family-oriented person that she, like, and but it, I guess another aspect to it is you could say, like, how she still is treated in the workplace, because I feel like something like that would never go away.
It's not, but I think... she took back her narrative.
Yeah.
And, you know, she capitalized on that. And so, like, the people who are still, like, bringing something from all those years up, it's like, how does that affect her? She literally is a billionaire.
You know what this reminds me of?
Mm-hmm.
So, I haven't finished the show, but I did research on it because I was curious. Pamela Anderson and Tommy Lee. Apparently, the show that's currently created, Pamela Anderson
was... She is, like, she did not want this to
come out. She didn't, what's the word? Like, give the permission or whatever for it. Because this was a very apparently traumatic experience in her life. And it was about, as well, like, an adult film got released because of this. And he was an abusive partner and so on and so forth. And it just shows, like, look how she's treated in the workplace. Views and a production is favored over what a person wants. And wants her life exposed.
Yeah, because, like... Yeah, she's a public figure, but, like, nobody deserves to have their life and, like, something that was so traumatic to them exploited for, like, fame.
Literally.
I saw a whole, like, TikTok about that and how, like, the show is a PR nightmare because they're using Sebastian Stan's fame and following. Because, you know, like, a lot of, like, women are, like, in love with him.
Yeah.
They're using that as, like, their selling point. But it's still... And they're trying to, like... They, like, said, like, you know, Pamela is, like, our icon. Like, she's, like, amazing, blah, 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 blah. But it's, like, if you didn't ask for permission, like, calling her, like, an icon now, saying she's a hero of her own story, it's not going to help if you didn't get her consent first.
Like, it feels very, like, as I was watching, I was, like, I'm curious, but then I'm also, like, it's interesting because, like, you're making something, like, almost, like, a biography-ish kind of thing without the consent of one, like, half the party.
Which sucks because, like, that's how kind of how, like, biographies go. They don't need to, like, necessarily, I think, purchase, like, the rights to something that scandalous or, like...
I thought they did, but I guess not, clearly, because this is, like, a multi-million dollar...
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, movies that and, like, biographies and stuff that come out about, like, certain, like, public figures, and they do not consent to it, but they still come out.
That's wild.
Yeah.
I guess moving on to the next thing we have is double standards.
Mm-hmm.
So, women... in the workplace, I guess. Okay, this kind of goes back to also, I guess, the Me Too we're just talking about. For example, women in the workplace, if they go through something, such as we're gonna talk about, like, Monica Lewinsky, if you go through, like, whether it's a relationship in the workplace, I feel like it's still very common that the women gets the brunt of the embarrassment and so on and so forth compared to the man.
Yep.
Oh my god, the love hypothesis.
Yeah.
That, you want to explain?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh my god. Remember how... Oh no, it wasn't Love Hypothesis. I'm so sorry. It was Spanish Love Deception.
Sorry, I don't know then.
I was thinking that. So in the Spanish Love Deception, it's a book. Spoiler, mm-hmm. upcoming. Oh, do you want me to
I have it? Not read it yet. Go for it. It's fine.
Okay.
It's covering my ears.
So the character, she had a previous relationship and he was a professor. However, it happened like after she was in his class for a year. After she was in his class, a relationship formed. Things
this is Spanish Love Deception, yeah. Not Love Hypothesis?
Correct.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know. That's why it was very similar. Mm-hmm. And it came out, but then it just kind of unraveled in a very negative way. But for her, she got, she kind of got ridiculed for it by her peers and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And was like, oh, you gained extra
credit, whatever.
And she kind of got, like, very, very talked about to a point that she had to leave the country. Like, it was too much. And he didn't, but he got nothing out of it. He was still successful prof, whatnot. And then she went to New York and she got involved with a coworker, but that coworker ended up getting promoted to being the boss. And as they started their relationship, she was like, I can't do this. Like, I'm so scared.
Mm-hmm.
But then you see the difference in the time period, I guess, and the people because it worked out. But it's just interesting how I feel like women, if they have relationships at work, it's always like women who kind of get ridiculed for it versus the man.
Yeah. For Monica Lewinsky, she became, like, she was only 21, I'm pretty sure, when this happened. Oof. And Bill Clinton was, like, married. 40, bro. Like, 40 with kids. Oh, sorry, a kid, right? And he did not catch the same amount of flack for what happened as she did. She became the butt of countless jokes of, like, all these parodies and stuff. And it's, like, she was only 21, an intern at the White House.
Yeah.
With no position of power, with the President of the United States pursuing her.
Yeah, there was a new show about it, a mini series. I didn't actually, I want to watch it.
I do too.
And it explained, like, my parents watched it as well, but it explained a lot, and it was just showing how, like, Bill Clinton really
covered his own
butt.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very similar, like, the TV show Scandal. Like, Olivia Pope had an affair with the president, and you see, like, when that came out, how she was such a successful woman, like, oh my god, I can't... If you haven't seen the show, like, Olivia Pope is an icon. Literally, I aspire to be her. But as soon as it came out, oh my god, President's Mistress. Who was Olivia Pope before that? Nothing was talked about. You only became that. And it was just... Fitz got nothing.
It takes two to tango.
It does.
Right? So it's not fair for one party to catch... Like, you know, people will try to frame it as, like, the woman should have known better. But the woman is not committed to anybody. The man is. Yeah. Right? The man has vowed... Like, he was married, right? Like, the president and the show. Yeah. He has made vows to another person. Has married another person. Has lived a life. And, you know, promised to be, like, loyal. She has nothing... She doesn't owe anybody anything. No. Other than human decency, obviously. But it's funny that only one party gets most of the blame and not the other one.
Yeah. Well, that's that. We're just going to end it off, I guess, with the little last segment here of there's been an uprising of women in mainstream media for being, again, like, the emotional and being vulnerable. And we have two examples. You can go off because you love both of them.
Okay, well, this, we wanted to end off on a more positive note where, like, we can see that women are taking back the narrative, the emotional narrative, and they're saying, yeah, okay, and what? Like, so yeah, we're emotional, and yeah, I'm gonna make, like, millions off of it. For example, Taylor Swift, she was, like, 19, right? Like, when she, like, became, like, really famous. Till the point, like, now, like, I would say, like, till, like, I don't remember when the Kim and, like, Kanye scandal was, but even then, she was, like, dragged through the mud for dating people.
But
you do not see that same, like, negative energy being shown towards, like,
men,
like,
just men.
I'm trying to think of, like, actors who are, like, notorious, like, serial daters. Chris Evans is one, like, no matter how, like, squeaky clean his image is.
It's probably a lot. I just actually can't think of it.
I'm trying to think. People like Chase Crawford, they all have, a long list of women. John Mayer.
Oh, yeah.
Jake Gyllenhaal. Leonardo DiCaprio literally dates 21-year-old women, but, like, someone like Taylor Swift is catching flack for having, like,
just
multiple exes in her 20s.
Yeah.
Right? And that is normal, right? But she caught so much flack for it, for writing breakup songs, it's all she was associated with, mm-hmm. right? But now you can see, like, she's taking back that narrative, and it's like, yeah, I'm gonna write a breakup song, and what about it?
Exactly, and that's very similar to Olivia Rodrigo. Like, when she came out with her album Sour, which was about, like, her breakup, mm-hmm. a lot of people were like, wow, she made a whole album about breaking up. Wow, how can a girl be that upset, that emotional? Wow, you made a whole album. You must be so petty. So, all these things, and it's like, you know what? It's just a platform for an artist.
Yeah.
You know, like, she can do what she wants. She was equally a part in that relationship and hurt. Like, yeah. What are you going to do about it?
You can't tell someone to downplay, like, their hurt and their emotions.
Yeah.
Because you don't like the fact that women are emotional.
So you're right in the sense that this is the opposite, and the women are too emotional still exists, yet in a very positive manner, I would say. Because also, women are in favor of the, like, yeah. we're all supportive. Because we're like, first of all, her album is so relatable. I actually saw a TikTok of a 30-year-old woman saying, you want to know why I'm 30 and all these women are relating to a 9? Is she 19 or, like, 17?
Dude, she's, like, 17.
17-year-old's sure. album about a breakup? Because the boys, I'm going to say because, boys,
yeah.
don't change. She goes, I'm in my 30s, and everything she said in her songs still applies to me now. And I was like, yeah, look at that.
Instead of, like, blaming women for being too emotional, maybe get some emotional intelligence and then talk.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I don't know why this turned into, like, a hate on
I know. We're not like that, I swear. It's just, like, when we're talking about these things and we've seen these perspectives, it's just, it is a little triggering, upsetting, I would say, yeah and upsetting, because it goes two ways, and I just feel like women are constantly framed in the negative light.
Yeah, because, like, you know, a woman has multiple partners, it is so frowned upon. Yeah. But, like, for a man, you know, he gets labeled like, haha, he's just a player, like, it's fine, he's gonna grow out of it. But yeah. why is the same leniency not shown to women?
You know,
like,
what this
woman
is reminding me of?
Hmm?
The phrase that I actually despise the most, because this also triggers me to do with, like, a Me Too movement. The phrase, boys will be boys. Yeah. Oh my God. If I ever hear that phrase come out of someone's mouth.
Mm-hmm. Getting punched.
No, I'm sorry. I have too much to say. I don't think I should say it on the podcast. Like,
let's get, like, too heated.
Yeah. But It's just things like that, honestly. Those narratives still need to die out, I think. But I think we've made progress from what we've said
from
the beginning of the podcast, where women have, you know, honestly, they've come a long way.
I think before, it was also, like, women did not always support other women out of fear for being labeled, like, emotional crazy or whatever. Or being, like, called a feminist because that's so, like, bad.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But I feel like now, like, you know, you go on TikTok and it's like, women are starting to support women more now. It's like, it's frowned upon to, like,
to not
to be pick me, basically, to like be a pick me girl, right? And be like, oh, like, why would you wear makeup, why would you do this, why would you do that? So it's, like, really frowned upon, which I think is, like, a step in the right direction. And with that, I think we are at the end of the podcast,
this week's episode. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.
Bye, guys, with a new Euphoria update.
Yeah.
Okay, bye, guys.